God was able to do. And I pray that when we're finished with this message, that you'll want to give him glory for what he has done. I've turned to Hebrews chapter 13, a passage a little bit similar to what Brother Thomas was preaching on this morning. Hebrews 13, coming to the end of this letter. I'm persuaded the Apostle Paul wrote it. Some folks aren't, but that's okay. I guess we'll find out in heaven, won't we? But Hebrews chapter 13, and what I'm after is just one verse. Well, let's see, I guess two verses. Beginning in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's more there than we can get to today. But this sounds like one of those moments when, if this was Paul writing this, he just broke out in praise. And haven't you felt that way sometimes when you're studying the Word of God, and or maybe you're just meditating upon something or listening to preaching or whatever, and it just seems like that thought just hits your heart in such a way that you haven't seen it before, or maybe you hadn't heard it in a long time, and it just caused you to just rejoice in it. And we should do that. And we shouldn't quench the spirit when we feel that way. We should give that praise and honor and glory to God. He's worthy of more than we can ever give him. Why would we ever quench the spirit that we have and not give him praise and glory? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And in this passage, he gives us a multitude of reasons as to why we should be praising his holy name. All right, so let's look at that for a little bit. Now, the God of peace. Isn't peace a wonderful thing? A lot of things happen in this world that disturb us, that cause us trouble. Peace. This word is kind of a broad word. It really brings covers all the blessings, all of the anything that brings happiness, real happiness to our life, as opposed to things that disturb or trouble us while we go through this life. Peace. Don't you enjoy peace? I'm satisfied. There's a lot of people in this world who don't have peace because they don't have the peace of God. They're struggling. Maybe they're trying to avoid something. But bless your hearts, we're blessed to know that the peace that we need is from our Lord. It's in our Lord. It's being with our Lord, fellowship with him, communion with him, treasuring up his word, thanking him for his blessings, looking to him for guidance, seeking wisdom. All those things create more peace in our hearts as we go through each day. And so the Apostle Paul, I mentioned Hebrews, and that's, I won't press that, but there's 13 other letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, and each time when he addressed whoever he was writing, he said, "Grace and peace be unto you." Now, Paul knew the ones that he was writing to. Most of the time, he's writing to churches. One time it was a collection of churches, a group of churches, maybe an individual. But whatever the case might be, when Paul said, "Grace and peace be unto you," if I know this is the child of God that I'm speaking to, then I expect that they understand something about where that peace came from. We didn't manufacture it ourselves. It was by the grace of God that he gave it to us. And he gave it to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who came into this world, who suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. And bless your hearts, that's why we ought to praise him every day. If indeed we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if indeed we have faith within us that he has given us in the new birth, that we can embrace these wonderful truths and rejoice in them, and we ought to be giving him praise every day for this peace that he's given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus was born, do you remember what the angel said? Glory to God in the highest. Now, that's a good opinion, isn't it? Glory to God in the high. Those angels were delivering a message. All right? So, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, we've had wars and rumors of wars ever since. But that's not the kind of peace that's under consideration, is it? The peace that Jesus brought is that he would reconcile us unto the Father. Ever since Adam, we had been separated from God. Ever since Adam, men were under the condemnation of death. But Jesus, for the elect family of God, for those chosen in him before the foundation of the world, for them that he came to save, bless your hearts, he came to reconcile us unto the Father. That means to make peace. To reconcile is to bring peace, restore peace. And so what we find is that the Lord Jesus Christ has done that. All right? Let me emphasize that again. He did that. We didn't have a part in that. God had purpose from the foundation of the world. This is how he would save his people from their sins. And he sent his son to do it. And he did it. Hallelujah. We can rejoice in that, can't we? But how can we rejoice in that? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And so we must be born of the Spirit of God, right? I said must be. Because that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must be born again. When we're born again, he's given us his Spirit. He's given us spiritual faculties. He's given us an ear to hear, a heart to understand. And so that's why, you know, what I've talked about thus far as his when Jesus shed his blood, he redeemed us from our sins, reconciled us unto God. We are justified. Justification by blood. We are justified by the blood of Christ. All right? But when we're blessed because he's given us his Spirit, because we have ears to hear, because when we're blessed to rejoice in the message of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, then bless your hearts, when we can rejoice in that, then Scripture speaks of that as justification by faith. Because we can embrace these wonderful truths. It didn't make it true, it's just the fact that we're able to embrace it and rejoice in it. And so as we think about then, we are justified by the blood of Christ, all right? He did that. He made that peace between us and God. And that's a finished work. But when we are blessed to understand it, when we're blessed to rejoice in it, then we, as a matter of conscience and in our heart and mind, then we have peace with God. The peace was established when Jesus died on the cross. But when we're blessed to rejoice in it, bless your hearts, then we have peace in our hearts. And bless your hearts, I hope that we have that peace every day. You know, sometimes we let things slip. Sometimes we're like a leaky vessel. You know, we forget sometimes. Oh, help us. May God help us to stir our mind by reading His Word on a regular basis, or thinking and praying, and whatever the activity might be that draws us closer to God. May we be reminded every day of the glory of that peace that we have because we're understanding what God has done for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can rejoice in that peace every day. And God is the God of it because He purposed it from the foundation of the world. Okay? Jesus wasn't a plan. You know, when Adam sinned, it wasn't that God came up with a way to save His people from that. No, God already had that way. Jesus was not a plan B. It was what God had purposed from the foundation of the world. He chose His people in Christ before there ever was a people. All right? He purposed to do that. And it was His purpose to make that peace between Himself and fallen His people among fallen man. And I'm thankful that we're blessed to know that peace this morning. And to know that He is the God of peace. All right? Because He did that for us. All right? So the God of peace. There's another now, isn't it? Now the God of peace. That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Mighty quiet. I see some nods. I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Yes.
All right. Why do you believe that? Well, I know how you believe it. By faith. Okay. God's given us faith at the new birth. All right. But is there some things in His Word that helps us to be more settled in that and to be more confident in that? I mean, we can't make it any more sure than it is, but we, in our mind and in our heart, we can make it more sure. We can remind ourselves of these glorious things, of the peace that we have from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can remind ourselves of it. Let me mention three things about the resurrection and what God promised. All right. Why do we, you know, as far as maybe I should say, do you believe in the finished work of Christ and His resurrection? Okay. The finished work. See, there's an awful lot of our friends and families in this world that under the so-called umbrella of Christianity, there's so many that don't see the finished work like we do. They feel like there's something you've got to do, all right, for it to be yours. Now, God sent His Son. Jesus did the will of the Father. He saved us from our sins. On the cross, He said, "It's finished." Well, if He said it's finished, who are we to say there's something else we've got to do in order for us to be with Him in glory?
Amen.
All right? Now, listen. There's plenty for us to do. I'm not saying there's nothing. You just sit on the stool and do nothing and never do anything for the rest of your life. No, there's plenty for us to do. And there's plenty for us to get more convinced of in the Scriptures. God has given us His Word that we can study His Word and understand it better so that we can be like Peter says, to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh thee a reason for the hope that's in you. All right? So, think about this. First of all, the apostles were eyewitnesses of Him after His resurrection. Okay? And we understand as they went about preaching, they were accused on one occasion of preaching, you know, that they that have turned the world upside down, those, they said, have come hither also. That message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the fact that He was crucified was one thing, but the fact that He rose again, that's entirely different matter, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that changes everything. Because He said, he would be crucified and rise again the third day. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. But then he died. And if he stayed dead, then none of those things would matter. But he didn't stay there. Death couldn't hold him. He came forth out of that tomb after 3 days and three, just like he said he would. Just like when he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Right? That's what happened. He came forth. He arose. Hallelujah. And we've got eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. You know, I don't find that Jesus appeared to anybody except his people, believers, after his resurrection. So we find the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. All right, so first of all, we've got eyewitnesses that he was alive after his death. You know, in one of those accounts, we find that they thought they were looking at a spirit. And he said, have you any fish? He took fish and he ate it. Which, by the way, he had told them earlier, he would not drink of the fruit of the vine till he drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And we have the witness that he did eat and drink with them after his resurrection. But he took that fish and he ate it and said, see, a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. He was there in his resurrected body. All right? They saw it. They were able to touch him and see him after his resurrection. They also saw him ascend into glory. Acts chapter 1. You know, what we're talking about here is that the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. All right? They saw him ascend back into heaven. Those angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus. This same, well, if he's coming back, he had to have risen. This same Jesus which you've seen go away shall come again in like manner. They saw him lifted up from the earth and received into heaven. And this text says, the God of peace, which brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. God can't lie. His word is inspired. And so we find Scripture says he arose from the dead. He finished the work the Father sent him to do. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Not just a shepherd. Not just any shepherd. That great shepherd. You know, I suppose, well, I don't have to suppose, it's commonly thought that the 23rd Psalm is the most beloved chapter in the Bible. Well, we love it too, don't we? I mean, I don't have any problems with that. And if there's a chapter of the Bible that some folks have memorized, that's most likely the candidate. Okay? Not very many verses, but oh, what it says. Now, we're talking about here in Hebrews, that great shepherd of the sheep. Well, what kind of shepherd is he? Well, John chapter 10, he says, he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus said of himself, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he did it. He showed us. He has the greatest love. Nobody can love us any better than Jesus. Now, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. All right? So we find that the love that God has for us is the very same love Jesus has for us, because they're one. Okay? great love. That's why John would say, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He loves his sheep. John chapter 10 goes on. He talks about more about his sheep, doesn't he? Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So not only of the Jews, but also among the Gentiles, God has his people that he refers to as sometimes as his sheep. All right? Jesus went on to say about his sheep, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, as far as regeneration is concerned, they'll follow him every time. All right? There's a variation between how God's people follow him in this life. All right? But he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow, and I give. Listen, this again is part of what God's able to do and what he's done for us. He didn't say, I offer it. I mean, that's what the majority of Christianity today will tell you. He's offered it. He's done all he can. It's available to you, but you've got to take it in order for it to be effectual for you. He didn't say, I offer. He didn't even offer himself to man. He offered himself to God. All right, we'll get to that in a second. I'm about to run out of time, though. All right, he says, I give unto them eternal life. Now, if he's talking about something that you can lose, it wasn't eternal to start with. Okay, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let me tell you something. In all of this that God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, yay, is reason for us to give glory to his name, because he's made peace between us and God.
That's right.
And this gospel, the word of God, and the preached word, and all the things that we rejoice in about what God has told us, should cause us to have that peace and have it more abundantly. You know, he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But I'm going to tell you something. The more you're acquainted with his word, the more you read his word, the more you meditate upon his word, the more you put that word into practice, the more you'll enjoy of it as you go through your day. All right, so the Lord, he brought our Lord from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Gives us eternal life, and we shall never perish. Is that your hope today? That Jesus died for you? Well, do you have a love for God? I'm talking about having a love for the God that he is. Some people have an idea of the God that they want, but I'm talking about the God that he is. The one that's holy, just, and righteous, and has every right to tell us how to live our lives in a way that's pleasing in his sight. If we love God, it's certain that we're one of his. Because the only way we can love him is because he first loved us. That great shepherd of the sheep. No better shepherd. One of the things I rejoice in about Psalm 23 is he says he's my shepherd. That's what makes it sweet, isn't it? If he's somebody else's shepherd, it wouldn't cause too much joy in my heart, but he's my shepherd. And all that he speaks about and the glory of him, bless your heart, he's mine. Those benefits are mine. Those blessings are mine through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What God purposed from the foundation of the world, he sent his son this world. And when Jesus did the Father's will in shedding his precious blood, and we use that term precious blood, and we know what that means, don't we? I mean, his blood was like no other. He was without sin. We're not. We're born of Adam. He was conceived with the Holy Ghost. God made a way for his blood to be pure, and it's the only blood that's sufficient to save us from our sins. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus wasn't a plan B.
No.
This was God's purpose from the foundation of the world. He chose out a people. Ephesians tells us, according to he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He did that for us through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This was, you know, Peter tells us, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but by the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. Let me get the rest of that. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I wanted to make sure I got that right. That spot and blemish, I get tripped up on that sometimes, but I wanted to get it right. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, you know that, but it's good to be reminded of that. And there may be some that's not convinced of that. You know, you can hear other things being preached in this world. But bless your hearts, it was God's purpose that he would send his son. This was through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He says, make you perfect. Now that peace, by the way, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's how that peace was wrought for us. When his blood satisfied the sin debt of his people. Oh, there's so many other places we could go. You know, Isaiah 53 is a wonderful description of the suffering of our Lord and how that God was satisfied. You know, we were talking about, I'm going to go back to that. God was satisfied. It was what the Father sent Jesus to do. When he accomplished what he was sent to do, the Father was satisfied. Holy justice was satisfied. The work was accomplished. All right? So through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And how thankful we are when Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. I tell you the benefits of what Jesus accomplished when he shed his precious blood. It's that that covenant, that when he satisfied the terms of that covenant, it's irrevocable. Will never be separated for the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So he says, this peace that he's given to us, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. All right, so God has reconciled us unto himself through the blood of Jesus. He's given us his spirit. So we're blessed to rejoice in this. We can hear the good news of the gospel. We can rejoice in it. But you know, when we're talking justification, we talk about justification by blood, justification by faith, when we can embrace it and rejoice in it. But there's another justification, a justification by works. If we're blessed to understand these things, then let's live like it. Let's do let's make decisions. Let's walk in such a way. Let's give glory and praise and honor and glory to His name. If we talk the talk, let's walk the walk.
Amen.
And by doing so, we'll see. It won't make us righteous. It'll show we are. You know, James talks about how that Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac. Right? He followed through. So bless your hearts, he says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. All right? When he gives us his spirit, we have the spirit of God in us, which Paul said to the Philippian brethren, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All right? So he gives us those desires. That holy desire comes from his spirit, the leadership of his spirit. All right? So when we follow in that way, when we do those things which are pleasing unto him, and bless your hearts, he says, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. That's our response that we should make to what the Spirit is doing in us. You know, let me notice something else. First Thessalonians 2:13. Paul wrote to the brethren at Thessalonica, and here's another one of those quick prayers that he offered. He said, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That spirit working within us, enabling us to receive the word of God. And as we follow the word of God and do those things which are pleasing in his, it helps us to do those things which are pleasing in his sight. All right? So it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're back to where Brother Thomas ended. To whom be glory in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. One thought that has just really stayed with me, impressed upon me, I guess for the last 6 months, maybe longer. It's been something I've understood, but it just seems like I just feel the need to remind God's people of it. And that is, in this mixed up and crazy world that we're living in right now, with all the things that's going on, not only is it our opportunity and our privilege, but it is our responsibility to live before others, to show forth Christ, the love of Christ that he's given us, show it forth to the world. They may not appreciate it. They may not like it. And you need to do it in love. But he deserves that glory. Let our light shine. Don't put it under a bushel. But how many times do we just keep it under a bushel? You don't have to run around telling everybody I'm a born-again Christian. You need to believe like I do. Just show the love of Christ to others. Live in such a way that manifests that we believe that Jesus died and rose again. He made that peace between us and God. And we want to show forth by our life, we're saying thank you every day we live. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace upon us. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for peace that we have. Thank you for saving us from hell. Thank you for everything we have. Thank you that you blessed us to know thee and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is life eternal. If you believe that, eternal life is yours already, because you are one of his children, because Jesus died for you, and nothing will ever separate you from that work that Jesus accomplished on our behalf. But it is incumbent upon us to live our lives in such a way to show forth his praises for the one that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. May God bless you is our prayer.